say. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Yeah, Metaball Football's on the air!
Kamala Puyol wins it like a titan! He's brilliant, the captain! Rises like a colossus! Above, and hammers this one down with his beautiful curly head!
So if you're looking for the latest and the greatest sport in the world, as well as some hot opinion, interviews, entertainment, all that other good stuff, you come to the right place. Mad About Football.
Listen to my puppy show and don't miss a part. No eating, no drinking, and no pee in their pants.
Is this
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mad About Football right here on the internet. Mad About Football, man, we have a show for you tonight. We got everybody you can imagine are here on the show for you tonight. We're going to have, 8 or 9 different perspectives of what's going on in the world of football. George Metellus, the normal suspect, Juan Arango. What's going on, Juan?
What's up, man? What's up? You're saying the truth, man. I mean, everybody. I mean, all that's missing is their mothers, because that's true, man. Hey, and everybody's got a nice little introduction, man.
Yeah, man.
We have with us who? We have none other than.
Well, first we got to go to the third party, the other part of the Mad About Football franchise, uh-huh. Mr. El Pibe de Oro, Mike Lopez. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, woo!
Yeah.
He just took his shirt off. That's what it was.
Oh, he starts swinging it around. You know, he's.
Hey, tomorrow night, man, big game.
Hell yeah!
Anyways, man. Glad to be on the show, man. How's everyone doing?
Good.
We also have none other than the president of the Pilar Ruiz fan club. None other than our boy Almond Joy, Kevin Walker.
What's up, brothers? What's up, love?
We also have with us the baddest man in soccer. The baddest man. I mean, he is truly a badass. Jonathan Starling. What's up, Jonathan? Hey.
Thank you. Just as long as my mother's not around, because she would curse us all out for being football fans.
No, don't worry. Just say, you're a Patriot fan. And then with us, hey, we also have a very special guest making his debut here. We're breaking him in tonight. None other than El Presidente, the future president of the Espanol Football Club. And ladies and gentlemen, when you see this man, boy, he puts his eye on the target, and boy, his bullets just go there, man. He just, you know, none other than El Presidente, Big Papa. Mando from Forza Football. What's going on?
Oh, hey, guys.
Obama. Mando Obama.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, hey, man. Hey, he's ready to make some change over at Espanol. What's going on?
Well, we're alive. That's you know, all you can say about Espanol.
Hey, so I mean, we got lots to talk about. I mean, pretty much we want to do a quick little La Liga wrap. I mean, all intents and purposes, the league's over. Thank you, Iker Casillas, for allowing Joan Capdevila to score this past weekend and pretty much seal it up. So, I mean, guys, let me get your impressions so far on this season, this La Liga season. Where have you seen it go? I mean, how do you see it? I mean, give me your impressions so far. We'll start with the rookie here, Mando. Go ahead.
Me? I think it's a bit exciting. I think for the most part, we're seeing, you know, the excellence of Barcelona, and Real Madrid came, you know, did come back. The effect of Juan de Ramos was right away. What it bodes for, I mean, in the next 3 or 4 years, I think there's going to be a turnaround. You're going to have Real Madrid retool. Valencia are going to be selling, and don't discount them. They've got some really good young talent there, and even if they don't have any money, if they can, things can change for them monetarily. I think that you'll find that they'll be back sooner rather than later. Sevilla's got a great developmental program. 3 or 4 years, you're going to find, La Liga is there. They're in the final, but you're going to find them, challenging for other than more clubs in the Champions League. Real Madrid, will be back sooner rather than later. I'm excited.
It's agreeable. I mean, I see what you're saying. I mean, guys, what else have you noticed? I mean, any teams that really stood out? I mean, don't say Barcelona because, you're stating the obvious. But any other teams that stood out? I mean, Kevin, guys, Jonathan, Mike, George.
Well, for me personally, the team that stood out for me was Valencia. And not so much because of their overall standings, but because just the way, the up and down of their season. I mean, they started off the season looking like the team that was going to challenge Barcelona for the title. And then, after about week 8 or 9, it just shot straight down. And you were wondering if they were going to be even qualify for European position. Then, this last, month and a half, they shot back up to the point where they might get third place. They still have a mathematical shot at third place, and they've been probably the best team in the last month and a half, beside Espanyol, in La Liga. So to me, it's been the roller coaster season of Valencia has been what stuck out for me the most.
And what about all their off-field troubles, monetarily, right, and so on? I mean, that's got to be in my mind. I was thinking that players were going to just not perform and it'd crash. The whole season's just going to be a crash. Everybody jumps ship.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, having a guy, for example, like David Silva, who was getting flirted by teams like Juventus, like Real Madrid, same thing with David Villa. I thought that the team was pretty much on a spiral, a downward spiral.
Right.
As soon as they got paid, then they started playing again.
You could look at it that way. I guess, money does do things, huh, when all of a sudden it's in your bank account.
Right. I mean, they have the talent to be, right there with Real Madrid. I mean, they have the talent, and they seem to have, when they put it together, a squad that can beat the Real Madrids. I don't know if they could beat Barcelona, consistently, but they have a squad that's a, top three team. So it's amazing how their season went and what all the, the monetary and financial problems they had and what could have been, because it could have been a great season for them.
Jonathan.
Hey, man, and Villa's still in that race for the Golden Boot, isn't he? I mean, he's four behind Ito, but who knows? Maybe he'll bag a couple in what, the last two games? So
I think Forlan is the one that
he's right behind him, actually.
I might catch.
Yeah, it's. I think he's like only one goal behind him. But who do they play in their last few games? Valencia.
Wow.
They play Athletic Bilbao and Villarreal.
Right.
They play. I'll tell you right now. They play away at Villarreal, and then they close out with Bilbao at home.
Right.
Yeah, and Bilbao's not a very strong team on the road, to say the least. So that could say.
Yeah,
the gold title right there, the Pichichi. Jonathan, look, man, I know you're more, more focused on the Premiership. Talk me down. I mean, calm me down, calm my nerves a little bit. Hearing the hysterics of how great the Premiership is. I mean, where do you see the Premiership as far as compared to La Liga? I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about down the road. Next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where do you see both leagues You see one going down, going up, whichever one. Where do you see it?
Well, quite frankly, I still think La Liga, even now, is the better league than the Premier League. Oh, and I hear every Englishman wanting my address to commit murder, but that's just how I feel. I mean, and to go back to your original point, mm-hmm. the story of my year in La Liga, mm-hmm. and it's a story that has fascinated me since I recorded with George on a previous version of the third half about Sporting Gijón. How in the name of God does a team with 23 losses currently sit 17th in La Liga? 23 losses. You would never see a team with 23 losses in the Premier League even close to staying safe. There's two games left in the year, and I believe, don't they have the tiebreaker over Osasuna?
Yes, and the bad news is, well, I don't know if it's such bad news, it's that Osasuna goes to Barcelona this weekend.
And don't they also close the season out at home against Real Madrid?
Something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Osasuna does.
Yes, Osasuna does, yes.
And Sporting Gijón go to Valladolid this weekend. They have a realistic shot of staying up. No team with 23 losses should have a right to stay up. But because of the fact that they could get 12 wins this year, this team looks to be safe. To me, I look at league strength kind of from the bottom up. And I just think that in La Liga, the bottom half of the table is a much stronger set of teams than the Premier League in the bottom half. And Barcelona...
All you have to do is...
Go ahead, Mendo. Go ahead.
No, all I'm saying is all you have to do is look at how many teams in the league over the last five to 10 years go up and stay up, mm-hmm. rather than how many, you know, go up and stay up in England, you know. And I think, and I mean, I don't have the data in front of me, but I like to think that, you know, clubs like Huelva, you know, they came up and stayed up. And
you've also had a group like Numancia that go up and come back down and go back up, you know, for the past couple of
decades.
Right.
But look at Almeria. You know, that's a really small club. Mm-hmm. Look at the success of Villarreal. You know, that 10 years ago they were off the map, and look where they are. I think it's still possible in Spain for a smallish club to build up and become not necessarily world power, because I mean, Barcelona and Real Madrid are always going to be Barcelona and Real Madrid, you know, one or two. But you can create something out of nothing in Spain, and I just don't see that possible
in England.
In England for one thing, you know.
Mando, are you going through like an airport scanner or something?
I'm in my car, actually.
Oh, I thought you were.
I'm on the road. So
I was about to say, well, Mando seems like he's flying to Rome for the game, you know, and you kind of blew my act there, you know, my little bit there. Damn.
I may lose you because, you know, again, I probably have a bad cell.
Oh, okay. I'll see. Well, if we lose you, well, then too bad. I'm kidding, you know. But no, seriously, I mean, but part of, at least what I see and I try to, you know, to some of these, the people that follow the Premiership is the two leagues have teams that have two different, completely different business models. And I think right now, the way the economics is going all over the world, the Spanish model for teams is a little bit better, you know, to survive something like this than, you know, having, you know, a team like Manchester United with the Glazers, for example,
I don't know about that, because a lot of the clubs in Spain are really, they're tied to I mean, look at how even Florentino Perez made his millions. I mean, it's tied into real estate and, you know, and construction. And mm-hmm. there's a real shortfall in that. So right now, it's kind of iffy in Spain. It economically, The business model might be okay, but
I know I'm not saying it's the best. What I'm saying is that, I mean, you hear Barcelona has $180 million debt, fine, but you don't hear any of these teams in Spain having $1 billion debt like Manchester United has.
No, you're right. No,
I mean I'm not saying it's oh, you know, it's the perfect thing. I'm just saying it's a little bit better. You know,
you don't find those kind of. Now, there's a lot of creative ways to get around, mm-hmm. you know, that debt. But I don't think that they fund their whole operation on tons and tons of I mean, you know, at one time Manchester United didn't have any debt, and that debt is what the Glazers did to fund, you know, that entire operation. So that's the reason why they have debt. Liverpool, that's a different story. There's a lot of reasons why they have debt. It's not just because of what those two Americans did to buy the club.
Right.
They already had debt because of the money they borrowed on future earnings, which are never going to come through now.
Right.
I mean,
building that stadium definitely doesn't help either. And that new stadium that they want to build, so.
I mean, I don't think that new stadium's getting built. I don't think no one in their right mind is going to give them financing, especially after what Gillette has had to do in defaulting on close to, what is it, $300 million in debt here in North America?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just things, you know, what I'm trying to get at is it's just a business model. You know, it's not the best, but right now it's what's carrying the league through right now through this rough time. While you start seeing the top three, and I guess we can throw Arsenal to the pot, that, you know, they're flooded in debt. I mean, it's you know, how are they going to be able to survive this? I'm not saying that it's the end of the world for them, but how are they going to be able to survive all of this with that type of debt?
Well, and, I think there's something to be said about top to bottom competition. Mm-hmm. That helps your business model. You know, a Sporting Gijón, like, you know, Jonathan mentioned, 23 losses, but they still have a shot at staying up. Okay, that's going to bring people to the games. That's going to sell. That's still going to move some product a little bit. Whereas maybe in another league, if 23 losses, they're right at the bottom. They have no shot.
Well, yeah, they'd be West Bromwich.
You know, there's a lot less interest. And so that a lot less interest means a lot less cash. So there's something to be said for competitive balance and how that affects your bank book. So I think that maybe that's where there's a difference between the two leagues. But, you know, ultimately that has a part of it. But ultimately it's business decisions. You know, it's sponsorship. It's how these clubs are run. And when you're running with debt, it's a lot harder to function and to maintain competitive balance throughout the league than if the debt isn't as substantial. So, you know, there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, thanks for talking me down, because I mean, I was, and it's just, you know, in my neck of the woods, I'm always hearing that, oh, you know, the Premiership is great because of this, because of that. And I'm like, you know, what about the long run? You know, are they thinking about things in the long run? And apparently that hasn't been the case.
No, right? They're not. You know? No, because Manchester United can barely afford the interest.
They can barely afford their
They are the second most richest club in the world. You know, I mean, you can't discount that either, you know. But
right now, does that term, the richest club in the world, I mean, does that really hold any water right now? I don't, at least in my book, it doesn't. Because, you know, like teams like Manchester United, Real Madrid, Chelsea, I don't know. At least in my opinion, it doesn't hold as much water as it used to at one point.
Well, when you talk about richest clubs,
go ahead, Mando. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's a tough question to say what that really means nowadays.
Yeah, exactly.
Because yes, they make, you know, they make a ton of money, but then again, they're not, you know, is that gross or is that net? That's not net. They're not netting a lot of profit. They're actually in the hole overall, and I don't think that's happening in Spain all that much. So,
Not to the extent.
I don't know how wealth translates into the actual game, because they could have all the money in the world, but if you're gonna do what Chelsea did at the Nou Camp, where they put 11 guys back, you know, and you know this team has a 200 million euro budget, you know, you can do that with a team that's worth 10 million euros.
There you go.
If you're gonna be Madrid, where you're gonna, you know, you can't get past the round of 16 or the quarterfinals in the Champions League for 5 years in a row, then you know what is being a big wealthy club really mean? You know, is it you're successful financially, but is it bringing the results on the field?
Right, and that's ultimately what makes you valuable.
Yeah, go ahead, Mando.
No. What I was saying too is that freaks to mind. I mean, you're buying quote unquote the best players in the world, and then you know players with a lot of skill and a lot of skill on the ball and creativity, the whole thing. And then what are you doing? You're putting them, you know, like Rubinho. You're forcing him to play, you know, in a style that he didn't grow up with, you know, this sort of Route 1, you know, English style. And you know, and then they go, well, so why, you know, why do these players, they're not playing all that well in England? Well, you know what? Maybe it's not the player. Maybe it's the style that they're forcing, you know, onto these players. You know what I mean?
Right.
Exactly. Now, here's one little tidbit I wanted to tell you guys about. Sporting Gijón's record is 12 wins, 1 draw, 23 losses.
Yeah.
So, they have more wins.
They're going, they are going down. That's one of the three that I predicted.
Yeah, I mean, their goal differential is just, I mean, it's Barcelona's, but almost, you know, it's inverse. I forgot what they call it back in school. I mean, hey, Mando, you're a teacher. What's that called again?
I guess reciprocal.
When Barcelona has a plus,
Real Madrid's is plus 34.
Plus 34. Gijón's is minus 34. So this is 68 goal difference between Real Madrid and Sporting Gijón.
Well,
yeah.
105 goal difference.
Well, they're the ones that are playing Real Madrid and Barcelona. At the end, are they, or is it Osasuna?
No, it's Osasuna. Okay,
that's are you really sure what club are you really getting? I mean, I think, you know, Real Madrid, or they quit last week. And, you know, you're really going to get the best out of Real Madrid.
Right.
Barcelona, I mean, they're going to start, you know, their Barcelona B team, you know.
Right.
Their Cantera team. So, I mean, are you really going to get the best out of those opponents? Yeah, they still might, but I think it's still going to be Numancia and Sporting.
I think Recre as well. I mean, so it's, but he, one
Recre,
more thing.
Done. They're 33 points. I mean, they're you know.
Yeah, I mean, Sporting Gijón has more.
All I care about is that my club didn't get relegated,
right.
They were bottom. They were done. I was already preparing, packing my bags for the segunda.
You were shoveling a hole in your backyard, you know, ready to bury stuff.
Go ahead, man. You want to talk about a team that would have been saddled with debt. You know, this is not a parachute deal that you get in the Premiership where you know you get a cushy, you know, check, you know, and you know you may or may not get up. I mean, that's nobody in Espanol were preparing for the drop, and they had funded their own privately owned stadium. It opened in August. They were going to inaugurate it against Liverpool, you know, in that home in an August friendly. And you know, could you imagine the kind of money that they were going to have to pay out? No, they would have gone under.
Now, Mando, so, are you going to buy a plot there?
A plot there? No, they're selling burial plots in the middle of that field.
Yeah, they're selling.
You know, like pitch. Yeah.
Exactly, they're selling it around. I think around the stadium as well, like around the stadium grounds as well.
It's a brand new, beautiful stadium. It's not even in Barcelona. It's like on the suburbs. I talked to some friends of mine who they say that it's where they're building it. It's in the kind of area where where people who are, you know, they're less, you know, they were always going to be the second team in Barcelona. So they were looking for a place close, still close to Barcelona. It's a suburb, right? You know, like 5 minutes away, but where a lot of the non-Catalan, you know, Spanish immigrants would, you know, came during the 60s and 70s. And so you've got a lot of people there who aren't necessarily like pro Barca. And so they're not hardcore
into the Catalan movement per se.
Yeah, so they're in a place where they're going to get, it's a smaller stadium. If, you know, I was at the Montjuic, that place is a mausoleum, like the one here in Los Angeles. Too big, it's got a running track, it was not a great place to watch a game. This new one is a lot smaller, a lot more intimate, a lot more like the one that they had before, the Estadio. So it's going to be a different feeling, and they're going to be able to draw upon, you know, other fans, other supporters that will probably not be in the same, you know, categories as Barca. Because they were always going to be second best in Barcelona. And this gives them a chance to survive. Huh?
Go ahead, George.
Okay, no, I was just going to ask everybody real quickly here. You know, Real Madrid, they're probably going to need a new coach soon. It hasn't been made official. But, you know, Wander Ramos, I think, is out. Who do you guys see as the possible next coach? I wanted to get everybody's opinion on that.
Well, I was just talking to Juan about maybe Wenger making his way there, but not like
he ain't
he's
making it. He ain't
not today. He came out today and said no.
Yeah,
no. Yeah.
And he's always going to say that to you know, he's always going to say, but
hey, that sounds good, dude.
Sound like Rocky.
Okay, Rocky. Maybe they need to get that Iraqi guy.
Hey, no,
everything is okay. We are not being bummed.
So now, going back to Real Madrid, one promise can't be made, which is, you know, Wenger being the coach.
Ancelotti's not going to be going there.
Exactly.
Ancelotti's not going there.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
The next one on that list was Jose Mourinho, and they're not going to get Mourinho because he's going to give another year to enter.
To enter, exactly.
So I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to go down their list, and they're not going to get, you know, top prime quality. They're not going to get one of the best coaches, you know, big name. I'd like Mancini, maybe, you know, Roberto Mancini. That would be a good choice. But preferably, you know, in my case, I think that what they really should do is get one, you know, a younger coach, or Pellegrini from Villarreal is a perfect choice.
I mean, Pellegrini, you know, already said he was going to stay in Villarreal, but then again,
Villarreal for another year. Yeah.
But Villarreal doesn't have Real Madrid's money.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's got a cushy place there. He's got a cushy program. You know, he's set there for at least another 2 or 3 years.
What about Hugo Sanchez? He did a good job at Almeria. He seems like
he's politicking for the job.
Hugo's been saying, well, you know, I really like Pumas, but I what I really want is Real Madrid. You know, no, I really love El Tri, but I really want Real Madrid. And he said the same thing everywhere he's gone.
Well, you know, he said that I really want Necaxa, but
right.
You know, I mean, how many days was he a coach of Necaxa before he took the national team job?
Yeah.
But then again, that's a whole sham that Compeán, who was actually the president of Necaxa and then became the president of the Mexican Football Federation, he had his own little sham going on with Hugo Sanchez and stuff. So I don't know. God, you know what? I'm stumped. I am really stumped. I really don't know.
Yeah, I honestly think the
best choice right now, the only choice for them is Mancini. I mean, he's, you know, he's won at Lazio. He won at Inter. Mourinho's winning at Inter with his boys, you know. He did well at Fiorentina. I don't know. I think he's a big name. He knows how to deal with big. So I think he's perfect.
You know what I really
but
think?
Whether or not they're going to give it to an Italian, you know, the Italians don't necessarily do all that well, you know.
Well, hey, they
went with Capello.
Yeah,
twice.
Yeah,
so.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but Capello's...
But Ranieri, you know, you see what he did. And Capello was run down twice.
So what about Spalletti? What about Spalletti, El Presidente? Do you think he could make his way over to Spain, Espanol?
I know. He's not going to go to Espanol, but he's a candidate, too. I think, you know... Is he a choice for the Juve job though? I mean, he's been talking that up for a while.
Yeah, there's new rumors about new ownership interest in Roma, and before this whole Ancelotti story was breaking about Ancelotti and going to England, they were dictating we want him at the realm, we want him at the helm, and we also want Adebayor. So that means Spalletti's out in my mind. Maybe even if Ancelotti's on his way somewhere else, Spalletti's going to be shown the door and he could end up somewhere else. I don't know if he's going to go to Juve anymore because they were talking about maybe Big Phil getting the job at Juve, which I can't understand. I can't understand that.
No, we'll see. We'll see. But guys, let's wrap this whole Spain thing up real quick. I don't know. As far as Real Madrid's concerned, obviously, everybody knows that Florentino Perez is going to win. I mean, despite the short-term memory Real Madrid fans have, or Real Madrid socios have. I mean, it boggles my mind to hear that a president that nearly ran this team down to the ground is getting reelected again. You know, it's like bringing Bush back.
Damn.
You know?
Well, Damn.
Sorry, Jonathan, but
it just shows you how badly they felt about Calderon. I mean, he's, you know, if that's the case, I mean, he's going to go to jail. He's been indicted. I mean, it's. You know.
I mean, but you know, he had the audacity today to say, hey, you know what? I'm at peace with myself. I told them that I was innocent. Come on, give me a break. It's a comedy of errors at Madrid. I mean, you know, one great thing would be to bring a guy like Zidane in, you know, as a sports director. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, respected by people, that's admired.
And this is how you do the headbutt correctly.
Exactly.
Can you imagine him at a Real Madrid Barcelona derby, him sitting next to Joan Laporta, and, you know, Barcelona wins 3-0, he gets upset, and he headbutts Laporta right in the chest. That would be some funny shit.
Hit the mic, George.
And who imagine Figo jumping in and trying to save his boy from Real Madrid.
Yo, Juan, you said it was mind-boggling, but what I don't get is how is it, I mean, not just the fans that are going to vote for him or have voted for him, I don't know how that works, but I'm sure that when the candidates in Real Madrid or the board of committees or however it's run in Madrid present the list of candidates, how they allow him to be one of the guys running for the presidency again, knowing his history with the club.
Well, I mean, you know, just for
reason. So many ins, you know, at us and Marca and the Spanish press. And so they've been talking him up for months now. And he's got the money to, you know, and to put up his, you know, like they've got to put up their, I don't know what, 50 million euros to even
campaign, you know,
matching funds, I guess they call it, to become the head honcho at Real Madrid. And, you know, even though there were three or four other people who said they were going to go in, you know, they needed to find funding to help them out. And I don't think, you know, the guy's got a lot of friends in high places, you know.
That would be so funny if Calderon runs and he has to run Real Madrid from jail. I think that would be just classic. But anyways, guys, awesome talking to you. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with a little bit of Serie A talk. We'll be right back. It was all flow.